Well, hey, good morning. So, I get to be, I've gotten to be in your world since Wednesday, and I'm leaving right after church. So, sort of like you guys are going to run me out of town. Head for the airport right after this, but it's always fun to come back here. I have several interests here, obviously. But I appreciate connecting with you as a church and getting to share in your journey and where God's taking you guys and what God's doing. And there's exciting stuff ahead, and whatever that might be. But you guys are, I think, you know, approaching points of change, and I think that's all going to be amazing and awesome and incredible. And I can't wait to watch from a distance. So anyway, God didn't give me a message for today. I think He gave me a direction, and I'm trusting that He's got a direction for us. My assignment was to teach out of James chapter 4. And I know you guys have had two messages out of James chapter 4. So I think God's given me a direction that's going to navigate through those other messages. But I didn't hear them and you did. So we're going to do a little bit of review. You guys are going to help me find my track. And we are going to let the Lord take us somewhere where I'm trusting we're going to get to hear some things that we can apply and seek and pursue, each one of us in faith in our own life. So that's our goal. So let's pray and be expectant and just ask God to speak to us. Well, Lord Jesus, I thank You that You're the one that disciples Your church. Lord, You saved us in Your own purpose and plan, and You've got a day in Your calendar where You're taking us out in Your own purpose and plan. And between the one day and the other day, You have a plan to walk through us, with us, through all kinds of stuff. And Lord, you do an awesome job of leading us to Yourself, transforming us and teaching us things we never even knew we needed to learn in ways that we never thought someone could be taught. And You're just right there filling up both of those. And so, God, we ask You to just to have this be a day, and all those days, that this would be one of them. This would be one of them where we hear from You and You lead us. So just Jesus, just Your Holy Spirit, pray that You talk to each one of our hearts. It's not a man's mouth that teaches, but it's Your Spirit. You said we shouldn't even call anybody teacher. We've got only one teacher, and that's the Christ. And help us believe that in all the outward stuff, it's only a tool that You fill because You have something You want, and that You will pursue what You want today through those outward things. I ask for that, God. We ask for Your touch. That's what we want, God, is we want Your touch. In Jesus' name, amen. All righty. So the first thing is, you guys have to give me hope and give Brandon encouragement by sharing the things you remember about the past messages from Romans 4, or by James 4. So what were your highlights? Or you can even go back to James 3, because I'm actually going to roll back to James 3 a little bit. Or James 2 or James 1. Worldliness affects relationships. Okay, so like the relationships in this room, you mean? Okay. Great thought. Wow. Yeah. And hope everybody hung on to that one. Great thought. Prayers need to be God-focused. And what does that mean? Praying for the good of others. Okay, and how is that God-focused? Okay, so we need to be aware that there's serious needs around us that need to catch our heart. and that we need to be caught up at the level of grieving and mourning and wailing because there's stuff that that's appropriate response to. Now, that's an awesome thought. Yeah, that's great. That's really humbling. Other thoughts? Okay. If your prayers are mostly for yourself, then you're not much of a Christian. And probably most other people also need to be praying for you. If you're praying only for yourself, then probably everybody else needs to be praying for you too. So we need to be outward focused. We need to be others focused. Awesome. Any other thoughts? Because I don't want to hit the old bullseyes. Okay. So it sounds like very community-oriented, one another-oriented, not self-oriented. That's where you guys have been. Okay, awesome. All righty. Well, I am going to, as I look through this, I look through it in the NIV, which you guys have underneath you. I kind of thought James was really rolling through a series of questions, and that the first question that would fit in this world is actually at the end of chapter 3, which he probably would have done a few weeks ago. It's really, really profound. I think it's really been big verses in my own life. So let's turn to James chapter 3, page 855. 855. So at the end it says, who is wise and understanding among you? So that's his question. So he's asking that probably because there's people that were pretty sure that they fit that category. And so since there was people thinking that that's who they were, he wanted to clarify things for them a little bit. And he was going to tell them how they could know for sure. So who's wise and understanding among you? Let him show it by his good life. By deeds done in the humility that comes from wisdom. But if your heart are bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, don't boast about it or deny the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from heaven, but is earthly, unspiritual, of the devil. For where you have envy and selfish ambition, there you find disorder and every evil practice. But wisdom that comes from heaven is first of all pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial and sincere. Peacemakers who sow in peace raise a harvest of righteousness. So James is always poking us, and here he's poking people who think they're wise. And he says, okay, so you're wondering if you're wise, you're thinking you're wise, and we all know that feeling, right? You're in a scenario where you know the right answer. You know you understand. Oh, I got this one. I understand this. I don't think anybody else understands it, but I understand it. I'm wise. Ever had that feeling? Ever been in that place? Ever looked at somebody else and go, oh, well, I know all that's going on with them. Oh, you're wise. Okay, so James goes, I'm talking to you. And he's talking to all of us when we have those moments. And he's saying, hey, here's how you know what's really going on here. Does this flag for you? Good life, verse 13. Humility. Then down in verse 17. Pure, peace-loving, considerate, submissive, full of mercy and good fruit, impartial, sincere. Are those rolling out of your spirit? Are you filled with humility and submissiveness and impartiality? And James says, hey, if that's what's rolling out of you, you know what? You are wise. You are wise. But if it's that other stuff that so often accompanies that feeling, then the wisdom you have is a worldly wisdom. It's like if we were to use the verse that Brandon walked us through, that's the wisdom of the lions. It's the wisdom of strength. It's the wisdom of power. It's the wisdom of me and who I am. And God says that wisdom can come all to weakness and all to loss and all to nothing. Where is your wisdom? Where is your wisdom? Is it a wisdom of the Spirit? And in my own life, one of the things I've really learned is that I have to be able to distinguish between those two kinds of wisdom. Can you do that? And so he's telling people, all right, you can think you're in the right place, but you're wrong. And that was his first question. Who's wise and understanding among you? You guys probably had a great message on that because it's a great passage. Then he asks another question. Chapter 4. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Now, you guys might have heard that sometimes in churches there's fights and quarrels. You know, they have those other places. There are places, there are actually churches in the world, believe it or not, where there are fights and quarrels. So we're going to learn about, you know, what goes on in other churches here in this passage. Because there's where they have fights and quarrels. But James is going, hey. Now, presumably he knew these guys. Presumably he knew who he was talking about. So presumably, you know, maybe he's speaking personally, going, hey, we all know there's this issue, right? But he's also writing generally. This is the Holy Spirit. So the Holy Spirit's saying to us, you know what, you guys? You've got fights and quarrels in your midst. You've got fights and quarrels in your midst. And I'm going to tell you what causes them. What causes fights and quarrels among you? Don't they come from your desires that battle within you? You have desires, and you know what those desires do? They separate you. Just like worldly wisdom, earthly wisdom, demonic wisdom, what does it do? Like you guys, sounds like you've heard messages on that. It creates division. It creates selfishness. There are desires, and here's what goes on. Those desires enter into your life, and they create division. And they cause quarrels, and they cause fights. And you go back, what's the root? What's going on here? It's that, oh, there's desires. There's desires. Somebody's wanting something. Somebody's after something. And it's creating a quarrel. Now, if we were to get technical in our translation, we would find out that actually the last part of verse 1 says, don't they come from your desires that battle within your members? Within your members. So you have desires in your members. What does that mean? What would be another way to say that? Anybody know? Any of you guys, theologian guys? Get desires in your members. How many members do you have? Members, what's a member? That's why they don't translate it the way it's written literally, because it's just kind of not what way we talk. There's desires in your members. James wrote that because he'd heard Paul's sermons. James wrote that because he either got the tape or he was there or something when Paul taught. We know he's responding in different places. In chapter 2, he's responding to Paul's message in James in Romans chapter 4. And that's why he writes what he writes in chapter 2. He's responding to Paul, or he's responding at least to what people are saying about Paul's sermon. And so there's a language here that was used in the early church that we sort of don't always track real tightly with. But I'm going to share with you why this is important. You guys got desires. They're in your members. And they're going to eat your lunch. They're going to get you today. And you, by yourself, cannot stop it. Turn to Romans chapter 7. Oh, this is not going to work in the NIV probably. This is such a helpful Bible. It's so helpful, you can't get the thoughts out of there you need to. It does use the word members. Okay. In chapter 7 of page 800, verse 21. And we'll go through 23. It says this. So I find this law at work. When I want to do good, evil is right there with me. For in my inner being, I delight in God's law. But I see another law at work in the members of my body, waging war against the law of my mind and making me a prisoner of the law of sin at work within my members. This is really deep stuff. This is Paul saying, okay, here's the battle with sin. And what's going on between your mind, which is where those God thoughts are, like, man, I want to do the right thing. I want to do the right thing. And then there's stuff going on in your members. And what's going on between your mind and the stuff in your members? According to that verse. What's war? War. And who wins? According to those verses, who wins? How do you know that? Yeah, because you're captive. Who ends up in prison? Who ends up in jail? Who ends up captured? Who's the prisoner of war? You are. And the sin in your members has won. And Paul says that was his experience. He wants to do the right thing. And there's desires in his members. And there's a war. And he loses. And he ends up in prison. He's captured by the enemy. And that's why chapter 8 occurs, where he says, this is how you get out. But here's where I think God wants us to go today. When we look at the message of chapter 4, it gets into relationship, it gets how it affects our relationship with God. God's grieved, we're adulterous. But the root, the beginning of all of it is our desires. We have desires that if they are what's operating in our world, they will take us away from God, they'll take us into selfishness. It says later that we kill and we covet. And we can't have what we want. I think Brandon also shared this verse. What is it that, do you guys remember in Mark chapter 4? There's something that chokes out the word and makes it unfruitful. What chokes out the word and makes it unfruitful? Desire for other things. Okay, so here's the deal. I don't know where you want to go. I don't know where you want to end up. But I want to tell you this. The only way you're going to get to God is if you figure out how to change your desires. If you figure out how to overcome those desires that keep taking you to the wrong place and making you a prisoner, and you come up with a different thing that's driving you, a different set of desires. Your desires, in one sense, they're always going to get you. Your life is going to be led by your desires. It says in Galatians chapter 5, what does it say about our desires? Anybody remember that verse? Galatians chapter 5, it says you get two sets. What's one set? Desires of the flesh, desires of the spirit. Desires of the flesh, desires of the spirit. Okay? And you experience them both. And so, what I would like to just have you guys ponder a little bit here is, well, I guess first I'd just like to ask, what is a desire? What is a desire? And okay, a passion, something you care about, something you think will satisfy. That might be a little bit more directive in helping us understand that. We have an expectation, right? We think, man, if I get this. Something good's going to happen to me. Okay. So, let me ask you this. Who here can honestly say that they have a sense, and in their body of desires, in your bucket of desires, you could say you are experiencing what you would call good desires. Things you want. Okay? Eddie, say something about that. What do you want? What do you want? Tell me, speak your passion. What do you want? Why? Okay. Now, we could come up with other desires, like, you know, there's a desire to make sure you get a cookie before they're all gone. Then there's big picture desires. Oh, I want a different relationship. I want any relationship. You know, we have all these things we desire. They pull at our heart. And you would say those things are pulling at your heart? You feel them inside? Do you really want them, or are you just being religious? You really want them. You want them as much as you want. So you experience desires for other things? And you would say this is that same kind of thing. You desire this. You want this. Hopefully. No. We don't hope about our desires. I don't have any hope about my desires. I just desire. Yeah. Well, I'm going to start drilling some other people here in a minute. Yeah, so you want it. Do you think there are people in the Bible that wanted God? Like, what would be some examples that we could pull out? Okay, Jesus would be great. And Jesus counts. Jesus counts, and that's the Sunday school answer. Okay, now who else could we say? David, Isaiah. Okay, and so why would you say those guys? And why would you say they want God? How do you know they weren't just religious? I mean, what is this? What they wanted? Okay, he communicated desire. You can sense, man, the guy wants it. Didn't he say somewhere his heart pants like a deer? He's wanting it. He's wanting it. Okay, and Kimmy said Isaiah. Can you think of why would you throw out Isaiah? Well, we know that would be true. We know that's an accurate answer. He wrote a lot about calling Israel to pursue God, to desire God. So he must have had it in his own life. Okay. If he got stuck with a job he really wanted, that's a really rich, really deep perspective related to Jeremiah. Yeah, and it would be fascinating to dwell on that. Yeah. Yes. Okay. So anybody else think of another example of a guy in the Bible or a girl in the Bible or anybody in the Bible wanting God? How many of them were just religious? How many of them wanted God? Paul? And what? And okay, prove it. Hit something he wanted. He also said in Philippians, one of my favorite verses, he said, I want to know Christ. Moses. And why would you say Moses? Okay. He pursued God. He says, God, I want to see it. Yeah. Okay, and why would you say Abraham? Okay, he was willing to offer a son. That's pretty huge. He must have wanted it. You wouldn't do that for religious reasons. There was something he really, really wanted. Ruth? Okay, why would you say Ruth? Yeah, and it couldn't have been tied just to Naomi. It had to be tied to Naomi's faith and Naomi's God. Yeah. Okay. Ooh, that's good. So he wasn't just doing his job of hanging with Moses. He had stuff he wanted himself, and he pursued it. Moses is probably there a long time. It probably really is to think it is time to go home. Moses leaves and he stays. A man of hunger. Yeah. Okay. Those guys' lives were changed because they had desires for God, and those desires drove them. We're always driven by our desires. So what does our world do when it tries to control us or direct us? What's that? Speaks to our flesh. And how does it speak to our flesh? Does it say, you should buy this deodorant? Yeah. It manipulates us through our desires. They work to create desires because, hey, if I can shape your desires, I got you. You may be able to resist me for a while, but eventually I'll win. If I can shape your desires, I got you. You cannot get away. Eventually, you're mine. And the devil knows that, and everybody on Madison Avenue knows that, and God knows that. So here's the deal. Where do you want to be in 10 years? Where do you want to be in 10 years? Do you want to be killing and coveting like it talks about in here, in James chapter 4, if we had followed it through and read more of that? Or do you want to be loving one another? What's that, Kim? Heaven. Okay, yeah. I do too. Okay, yeah. Where do I? Yeah, that'd be the best, wouldn't it? But what if we don't get to go in 5 or 10 years? Some of you guys are just going to be stuck here, I'm pretty sure. You're still going to be around. Where do you want your... What do you want? What do you want? What do you want? And here's what I'd like to throw out to us, is that your life, James says, you know why there's quarrels and fights among you? It says that you have something you want, and you can't get it, and you kill. Because you can't get what you want. Now, what does he mean, kill? I don't think they were murdering one another in the church. But what did Jesus say murder is equivalent to? Hate. Yes, if you hate your brother, it's like you've murdered him. So what happens? Oh, I have a desire and I can't get it and you're in the way and so I just write you off as like, ugh, you become an object because I want something and you're in the way and you're just an object. And so the person becomes an object and the object becomes the idol and my whole life is oriented with making people into objects and objects into idols because I have my desires and that's what they'll do to me. Or it says you covet and you want something and you can't have it, so you fight with one another. And there's something you go, oh, they have it, they have it, they have it, and I don't have it. They have it. And you envy and you covet and you fight. And you aren't even honest about it. You act like it's spiritual or whatever, but what's going on in your heart is you are envious and you're coveting something that somebody else has. And it says you do not have because you don't ask God. And the reason you don't ask God is because you know He's not going to give you that because you're way off in the weeds. And all this comes down to what's driving us. We got the wrong desires. The wrong desires are going to eat your lunch. They're going to destroy my life. The wrong desires will destroy my life. I have got to change my desires. I got the hunger for God and thirst for God and yearn for God. But every place you touch this world, their purpose and their goal is to shape your desires. They're all trying to shape you in a different way. I'd like you just to ask yourself right now, in your own heart, in your own soul, in your own spirit, honestly, do you want to know God better? You may have other desires you wrestle with. There may be other stuff in there percolating around. But when you look, when you sit there in your chair, by yourself, in your own little world, right now, do Do you find that yes, it's there. I want to know God. I want to be satisfied in God. As James says later in chapter 4, God, I know I'm adulterous. I chase all these things. I'm after so many different things. But God, I want to know you. I want to find my life in Christ. Is that there? Do you go, yes, that's there. It's kind of covered up. It's really dirty. It's all, you know, but it's there. Then what I want to ask you to do is, what are you going to do to fan that into flame? What are you going to do to have those desires grow in your life so that the other desires don't overwhelm it and keep pushing it down and making it stand behind in the back of the line? You have got to make this choice. You can't do it collectively as a church. We can encourage one another. We can be examples to one another. But in the end, you have to choose yourself. You have to say in your own heart, whatever it might be, I will get up and I will seek God in the Bible. I will memorize a verse. I will choose to obey in this area where I'm convicted. And by the way, if you know there's something, some place God wants you to go, there's something He wants you to obey in, and you just keep saying no, and you keep saying no, and you keep saying no, you know how God is going to seem to you? He's going to seem really distant. If God is convicting you about an area of obedience, if you don't follow through, if you know, God doesn't always ask us. We're a long ways from perfect. He's not telling you to change every single thing in your life right now. He brings stuff up in His own time. He's totally happy with you the way you are. You're saved by grace. It's amazing. The more you sin, the more glory God gets. It's all true. Just read Romans chapter 5. But His goal is to make you like Himself. And when you get to heaven, you are going to be like Himself. And He says, and we're doing some of the work down here. So, you know what? I think we need to work on that one right there. Let's just start with that one right there today. And you'll get convicted. You'll go, I don't know. I don't feel peace about this anymore. And God goes, yep, okay, we're working on that one. And if you track with the Lord, He'll give you power, He'll give you strength, and you'll feel close to Him, and your desires will be drawn to Him. But if you say, no, I don't know, I don't want to do that, then God will get more and more distant, and the other desires will get stronger and stronger. Your desire for God will track with your obedience. So if you hear God's voice, and He's going, we're talking about that one now, you need to go, okay, I'll follow you. I'll let you lead me. I'll trust you. And your desires for God will grow. You guys, you're going to be led by your desires. Proverbs 4:16. Anybody know what it says? Probably got the wrong reference anyway, so don't worry about it. Might be Proverbs 4:12. But boy, I sure memorized it. And the Berkeley says this: above all that you guard, watch over your heart. For from out of it are the sources of life. Watch your heart. Watch your heart. Your life will track with your heart. And God tells you that. Watch your heart. Watch your heart. Watch your heart. Your life's going to track with your heart. Give me your heart, my son, wrote Solomon in Proverbs. Hey, that's the deal right here. Give me your heart. I'm not looking for outward obedience. I need your heart. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. Isn't it amazing we have the power to do that? You can give your heart. You can give your heart. You can give your heart. It's the most amazing thing God's made in us. We're in His image. He gave us His heart. We can actually give Him our heart. And that's what He wants over and over every day. Get up. Give me your heart, my son. Give me your heart. Give me your heart. What I want for this church and all the churches I'm connected with and everybody else I touch that knows the Lord, I want them to hear Jesus saying that. I feel like I hear it. I don't walk in it perfectly by any means, and there's a lot of stuff I don't even got to learn and understand. But I know that call. Do you know that call? And if you do, you will seek fellowship with other people who hear it. You'll go, you hear that too, don't you? You hear that too, don't you? That call to yield to God and to know God. And I want to be with you. I want fellowship with you. I want to connect with you. Because our unity is not that we see everything the same. Our unity is that we hear the same voice. That's our unity. And that's where I want my fellowship to be with you guys. I look at, yeah, that failure is not the issue. The issue is, do we hear that voice that makes us say, I must decrease and He must increase. I must turn my desires. That is where I want my heart to be. And if that's true, then I know where you're going to be 5 years from now. You're going to be closer to God. You're going to be closer to God. So it's not the outward obedience, it's the heart, it's the desires. James says this is what's going to get you. It's going to be your desires. Don't let the world shape your desires. Don't let it happen. You can give your heart. Just give it to the, as a matter of fact, you will. You are, you do. We do. And God says, you're going to give it. Give it to me. Give it to me. Lord, our desire is to give you our heart. Lord, we want to be close to you. You're the answer. You're the truth. You're the source. You've made us. You're coming for us. You're our lover. You're our husband. You're our father. You're our brother. You're our Savior. Lord, you're all of it. You're all of it. You're the one that knows us. You love us. And I just pray, Jesus, that we would determine that we will not let the desires of the flesh shape us, bring division, bring fights and quarrels and turning one another into objects, but that we will let the desires of the Spirit shape our life. Ah. And there is life in those. There's death in the desires of the flesh. There's life in the desires of the Spirit. And I just praise you so much. You do invite us. That you even give us the invitation, give me your heart. Wow, that you would even say that to us. Why do we even care? But every day, I have a chance to give you my heart. Every moment. And I thank you for that. Help us walk in it. In Jesus' name.